A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 21st July 2024, Sunday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from our Heart Sutta book. We are at page 50, lesson 8, the 8th Heart Sutta class. Okay, we will as usual compose our mind. Develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sishya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sishya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sishya Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Milafo. Namo Milafo. Namo Milafo. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Dichangwang Pusa. Namo Dichangwang Pusa. Namo Dichangwang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang sama sambuto bhagawa buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipano bhagavato saukasango sanghang namami. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu michachara veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajam. Buddhang Pujami. Namang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Evocation to the Devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities and Devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadam dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho vicacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang putto bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo santitiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pacyatang veditabo vinohiti supatipano bhagavato saukasango ujupatipano bhagavato saukasango yayapatipano bhagavato saukasango samichipatipano bhagavato saukasango yadidam chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato saukasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkineyo anjali karaneyo anuttaram punyam khetam lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we shall continue from page 50, the 8th Heart Sutta lesson. So this second edition of our Heart Sutta short notebook is a very important book, as I always emphasize. We have been using this book as our guide during our previous annual retreat, because it was from the early days notes that we compiled. Then later on, we decided to get a team of Kainamita to help do the transcript for the talk and all the categorization into a book form. We call it the Heart Sutta because during that time we were going through the commentaries of Master Xuan Hua, the Heart Sutta book, and it took us almost 15 months to finish it, and that was in the year, I think, 2015 1 or 2 or 1, 2. Almost 12 to 13 years ago. And as I said, at the retreat, we only have 8 or 9 days to go through all this. But I found it much more useful to share it over longer period so that Kayamita can develop the understanding and get themselves prepared before they attend the actual annual retreat. So the first one that we did in the year 2020 was very good. It lasted 8 months, and that one benefited many Kayamita, especially Sister Po Ching from Singapore. Yeah. Then after that, the tradition continued. Yeah. So this retreat, which is end of next month, we will be having our annual retreat again, August. That's why we have been sharing this Heart Sutta book until lesson 8. So this time around, for those going for the retreat, you should attend all Sunday class where we go through this Heart Sutta book. It will help you a lot. Okay, now we go back to 8 Heart Sutta class. So this one was 8th of April 2012. The normal Sunday class is 3 to 6, just like our today's class, Sunday class. We start at 3, we end at 6. So part 1, a recap and emphasize on the previous lessons sharing. So there was a question which somebody asked, which is useful for us to develop the understanding. The question is, can you teach me how to meditate? So this is a very common question where you hear all over, especially at retreat. But sad to say, this is not a correct question. So here I reply, I say, this is the most common question, but also the most common mistake, because it is a wrong question to ask. When you ask this question, you expect the teacher and instructor to give you a method and a technique to meditate, right? And this sounds very logical, isn't it? But what is a method? What is a technique? It is only a series of instructions to do certain things. So like training the mind to be mindful and heedful so that it is in the present moment, silent, peaceful, and aware within. Or to train the mind to develop some form of concentration, etc. And more often than not, the method or technique taught never defines the meditation. So isn't it more important for us to understand what is meditation? Only then do we know how to develop it. So whatever that appears logical may not necessarily be the truth or the right question to ask. So there is a footnote down there. You pay attention to this footnote. Unless you understand what meditation is, you will not be able to develop it. This is very straightforward, isn't it? Very clear, isn't it? If you don't know what is meditation, then people just give you method and technique, and you gullibly believe that if you follow the instruction or the technique and method that is being described to you, which is just a series of instructions, means you are meditating. And the most gullible one is sometimes they say, if you do this method or you follow this method or this technique done by maybe some good monks or which they believe has already attained, then this is vipassana, or this is the way to enlightenment. So all this. But if you were to develop the clear understanding of the teaching, we will come to know whatever method, technique, or meditation that you do, if it doesn't lead you back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. If it does not lead to heedfulness, it is also not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So all these are very clear. So how can the method, technique, which are series of instruction, defines the meditation? Unless that method and technique is a skillful mean to initially train you to develop the sati within, then you are able to stabilize it, then after that use it to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path as taught by the Buddha, leading to heedfulness. If that is the way it is like developed, then maybe it is more appropriate. But definitely meditation is not a method or a technique or a series of instruction to do things. The word meditation, although, as I have explained before, is a very loose word. In fact, anything that uses the mind to train itself is a meditation. That's why when you say you are doing loving kindness meditation, means you use the mind to develop loving kindness. Then that is meditation. Or you use the mind to develop certain yoga technique, or even qigong or what, then they call it yoga meditation or qigong meditation. Then from there, you will come to know what we are interested in is not all those type of meditation. Maybe metta, yes, loving kindness taught by the Buddha. But what we are interested in is the real meditation as taught by the Buddha that can lead to enlightenment in the here and the now. The realization of the Four Noble Truths, leading to liberation of mind from birth and death. So all this, when it's understood, then we know the importance of having this understanding. So I will read the last sentence again. All methods and techniques given are only an initial skillful means meant to train the mind to be heedful or in samadhi or concentration. They are only a series of instructions given to initially train the mind so that it is not heedlessly lost in thought or preoccupied with what it is thinking or feeling. So this is a very important note. So the purpose of meditation is to train the mind to be heedful, then use it to see things as they are, to develop the wisdom, and to understand how the five mental hindrances can hinder your mind from returning to its original state of silent inner awareness and peace before the stirring. So here I say, do not fight the mental hindrance or force it to go away, but instead just develop the corresponding five spiritual faculties, the opposite five spiritual faculties of mind, especially sati and samadhi, as taught by the Buddha, to arise the wisdom to counter them. For Dhamma is beyond thought and beyond time. Heedfulness is without thought, hence without psychological time. So Bharatiya always advises us to diligently cultivate the five spiritual faculties because they are key to the development of the 37 factors of enlightenment. They appear twice within the 37 factors of enlightenment. So this five spiritual faculty, which is Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, they are spiritual faculty that can enable the cultivator to understand spiritual teaching. And within the 37 factors of enlightenment, these are repeated twice. First is normal five spiritual faculty, Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Then, when it's repeated, it's called balas, or they call it powers. Power in the sense that the spiritual faculty has become very stable, unshakable. That's why it's called balas or powers. So, these five spiritual faculties stand out very, very prominently within the 37 factors of enlightenment. That's why you need to develop it. So, having this understanding is very important because, like I explained before, the five spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, they can help you counter the five spiritual faculty. The five mental hindrances. When the five mental hindrances are no more, which means there is nothing to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness, which is heedfulness, then meditation is very simple. There is no more problem. You are always in a meditative state where there is no mental hindrance to hinder you from entering those meditative states, means from enabling your true mind to return to its original state before the stirring, before the thinking, before the arising of thought. And that understanding is very important. That's why when you understand what is meditation as taught by the Buddha, then you know how to start. And meditation becomes very simple. So, based on Dhammapada verse 21, the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas if you don't have heedfulness, you become heedless. Then heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So from here, we will understand what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. If it does not lead to heedfulness, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then in order to develop this heedfulness, we must understand what is heedfulness. So Dhammapada verse 23 says, the constantly meditative and ever mindful, if you are steadfast in these two training, then you will realize the supreme bond-free Nibbana. Which means, if you can be constantly meditative and ever mindful, these two, when you combine them, it becomes heedfulness. So which means whatever meditation we do must lead us to these two particular important factors. So the first one is, of course, constantly meditating, means constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. The second part is more important. Ever mindful, which means we have to train our mind to be mindful first. You can use whatever method, technique, or skillful means that can enable you to train your mind to be aware within the moment, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. That is the first training. When you can be in that state of ever mindful, then you use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. Combining these two, you develop heedfulness. Then Dhammapada verse 23 take off. And that is how we should develop meditation. So the correct question should be, what is meditation, or what meditation is? So when you understand that meditation consists of heedful training, stabilizing the mind that is mindful until it becomes very, very stable, so that we can develop the state of ever mindful. Which means in the daily life, you are also mindful. Means the stability of mindfulness is very stable, ever mindful. Then use it to meditate, constantly meditating. That's why the full-time training is to constantly be in the state of heedfulness, to develop the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And basically, Noble Eightfold Path is the embodiment of all the Noble Path factor of an enlightened being, to cultivate right view, right understanding, with regards to the three spiritual law of Karma Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. Then from there, we move. When we have right view regards to law of karma, we know how to start. We have to take care of karma. Because according to the Buddha, he said, under the five daily contemplation, the last one, all living beings, he said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. If that is the case, means our life is entirely dependent on karma, because we are born of it. We are heir to it. We are conditioned and supported by it, and we are what we are because of it. So that points towards a very important understanding that cultivator of the way must have, which means if we want to have good life, we must take care of karma. So how do we take care of karma? That's how the advice of all Buddha come in. The famous Dhammapada verse 23, Sabba papasa akaranam kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyottapanam etang buddhana sasana. Sabba means all. Papasa means evil. The Buddha said, all evil you have to avoid. That's how we take care of karma, to avoid all evil. Then whatever kusala, wholesomeness, goodness, we must do. That's why avoid all evil, do good. Then finally is sacitta pariyottapanam. Citta is mind. We have to purify our mind so that it's free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. We have wisdom. Then when we develop wisdom and understanding, we will not be deceived or deluded by the phenomenal world of consciousness and form, by what arises within our six sense door. So this is what the teaching is all about. When you follow the advice of the Buddha, basically you are cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. Because the Noble Eightfold Path are all path factors that are right. So right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, the way we live our life, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we communicate, and the way we act, speak, and think. And that is what living is all about. Life is all about. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is the embodiment of the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, to do good. Then to purify the mind, the Buddha continued with the four right effort, followed by right sati or mindfulness or awareness. Then when you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi, right samadhi. Right samadhi is the stability of sati that is unwavering, collected and unwavering. So whole of the Noble Eightfold Path factor is actually the advice of the Buddha. And you are incapable of evil if you do that. That's why it's the embodiment of all the appropriate spiritual wow factor that enlightened being must have. So the word Arya in the days of the Buddha means noble ones, means the enlightened ones are also called noble ones, in the sense that they are very noble in all aspects of life. That's why noble in their understanding, which is right view or right understanding. Then the way they communicate, the way they live their life, the way they act, speak and think. That's why we have right thought leading to right speech and right action. So speech is a form of communication. So now you can include the way you communicate, maybe through email or voice box, or even through letter or whatever. So we can expand on the Noble Eightfold Path based on our clear understanding of what this teaching is. The Noble Eightfold Path will have its meaning. Because when you have right understanding or right view with regards to the nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the spiritual law, the three spiritual law that I mentioned just now, Kama Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama, the order of truth, the three spiritual truth, law of karma, law of mind, and law of truth, or what we call essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, which is basically the Four Noble Truths and its three turning, and all the other essential Dhamma, they spin off from there. So this understanding is very important. Then after that, we will have the second right view, which is Citta Niyama. Citta is mind, order of the mind. When we understand Citta Niyama, we understand how we function as a human being. This is what the Buddha called the dwelling or the law of dependent origination, Paticca Samuppada. So here he teaches to develop the understanding of this Paticca Samuppada via mindfulness training. That's why without sati, without mindfulness, without awareness, you cannot understand the dwelling teaching, the law of dependent origination. How through avijja, ignorance, it creates sankara activity, thought process. That's why avijja paccaya sankara. Then sankara mainly is mental activity. And mental activity comes from the brain. That's why we go to the brain and make contact. So upon contact, because you go and think. So one thing to know, one thing to experience, you go to the brain and think because of ignorance. We are believing that through thinking, you can understand. And when you think, what happens is, with mindfulness, you can see. Like what I explained to you all in the physics experiment. Upon contact, the light bulb lights up. The lighting up of the light bulb is synonymous to what we call becoming conscious. So when we make contact with the brain become conscious. Thought consciousness arises. And this thought consciousness is a common denominator for all our senses. Every of our senses, you must have this mundane thinking or thought consciousness. So this thought consciousness is what the Buddha called Sankara Paccaya Vijnanam. So Vijnanam is actually the pure consciousness of our thought process, the thinking mind, the mundane mind. Then after that, what happens is through our brain, our memory, our views, our opinion, our conditioning, our belief system, and all the accumulated experiences and conditioning that we carry in the brain. From there, you act. That's how you become deceived, deluded. Then you input that content into that pure consciousness. That's why when the content go in, Vijnanam Paccaya Namarupa. Namarupa here means the form and mind, the second aspect, the mental five aggregates of form and mind. So that is the fourth link, and that is what we call the thought. The thought. When the content go in, it becomes the thought. Before the content go in, the Buddha said, in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness. It's only the pure consciousness, the pure Vijnanam. But once the content go in, means your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, everything that you carry, your like and dislike, or your phobia, all those things, that's why it trigger off sankhara, mind state. Then it become wholesome and unwholesome, kusala and akusala, citta. Then from there, all the karmic movement, they arise. And it is this karmic activity and movement that actually bind living beings in samsara. So this paticca samuppada, the 12 link, is very important. And without mindfulness, you cannot see. You cannot understand. Because the movement is so fast. Without sati, you cannot see all this. You cannot be with that activity. Because the Buddha called it aggregate is because they are like heap. They are each and every one of the mental aggregate, like what we call Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana. Then there is this mental form, Rupa, which through perception, Sanya, we actually input into the thought process. So external form enters the mind and created the five aggregate of form and mind. Initially, it's only the four aggregates of mind. Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnanam. Then the mental form come in. That's why you have the five mental aggregate. And this is the one the Buddha is interested in. So when you can see this, then you realize upon contact, like the physics experiment, the light bulb lights up, means you become conscious. It can be from any of your senses. If it's from the brain, then you are conscious of that thought consciousness. That's why in the thinking, there is only the thought consciousness. But in the seeing, there is only that seeing consciousness, that conscious moment, the pure consciousness that trickle, that arise. Even for your other senses, in the hearing, there is only the hearing consciousness. No one to hear, no one to see. No one to think, nothing. Just the pure Vijnanam. If you are mindful, you can be there and you can understand what that is. Then after that, only the brain, through its views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, input in the content. And this content is the one that creates delusion, heedless thinking, wrong view. the egoic mind, Sakkaya Ditti, then through that delusion, you believe, you see, you think, you smell, you taste, you tactile, you feel. And all this is what Sakkaya Ditti is all about, self-delusion. I see, therefore I am. That's why the ego is being developed. Then our society, the teaching, the education is such, when we are born, they give us a name. They identify us. Then they even give you a birth certificate. After that, as you grow up, they give you an identity card for our country, Malaysia, Singapore. Then later on, when you want to travel, they give you a passport. And all these are the various ways they identify you. Then when you go to school, they also identify you. They have a register to register your name and all those things. Then your parents call you by name. Your friends, your teacher, your colleague all call you by name. That's how identity manifests. The ego, the entity, they become enhanced. Stronger and stronger, you accumulated that egoic entity. All this identification, which is the result of all the conditioning, belief system, and the way society educates us. That's how we develop this egoic mind, or what we call atta. The atta, or some call it the personality, means you identify yourself, and that is what you are, your personality. That's why the memory, which is a bundle of memory that created the identity or the personality of what you are. So living being without memory, they cannot understand who they are. They don't have this ability of awareness to see. To know thyself, to discover the truth about the form and mind, the living being or the human being, is what meditation is all about. If you cannot be aware to develop the clear understanding of who you are, what you are, then you cannot develop the Buddhist understanding to the wisdom that the Buddha expects you to realize. So, who are you? What are you? If you cannot understand that, then which means you don't even know who are you? What are you? Then the next question is, who is living your life? Because you don't know who are you? What are you? That's why we will start by identifying. Yeah, I am so and so. Well, that name is given to me. Are you sure that is you? I'm a human being. Are you sure that is you? That's why meditation go deeper. The awareness-based meditation taught by the Buddha, they go in very deep. Beyond this physical form, is there any other entity? Of course we know. There is a mind. This mind is what we always accustomed with, use. And that is what we call the mundane mind, the thinking mind. And this is also not you, the Buddha said. That's why he said, Rupang anicchang, Vedana anicchang, Sanya anicchang, Sankara anicchang, Vinyana anicchang. The five aggregate of form and mind, they are all impermanent, not you. They come and they go and you didn't die. Then after that he continued. Rupang anatta, Vedana anatta, Sanya anatta, Sankara anatta, Vinyana anatta. Means all these five aggregates, they are impermanent and not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why non-self, not you, not what you think. If they are not you, then how did they arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? That is what awareness-based meditation will discover. When you are in sleep, when you realize your true mind, the pure awareness nature, then you realize there is another mind which is beyond the thinking mind, the mundane mind. There is another entity that is beyond thought, beyond mind. Not until you realize that, you cannot understand who are you, what are you, and the reality of this for my mind. The awareness nature within, that is the one that you need to understand. That is what sati is all about. And when you can stabilize that, then that nature manifests and become more and more beautiful. It will enable you to understand many things which is beyond the mundane thinking, the thought process. Then a lot of other understanding will manifest. The unconditioned Dhamma will become very clear to you. Then you will also understand the conditioned Dhamma. How the conditioned world has its own sets of Dhamma basing on what the Buddha has taught us, the essential Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths and its three turning. Then when you penetrate this Dhamma and awaken, you realize the unconditioned Dhamma, which is beyond words, beyond thought, beyond psychological time. So all this is what the Buddhist teaching of Sakyamuni Buddha or all Sammasambuddha is all about. That's why it's very unique. It's very powerful. Okay? So now we go back to the notes, then we continue. So the first part, understanding what meditation is very important. So never make the mistake of just wanting to learn how to meditate and ask whoever who is teaching you, can you teach me how to meditate? Means you overlook a very important question of what meditation is. If you cannot understand what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, then no point. Because you will end up doing things that you don't understand. And you gullibly believe that that is meditation. Okay? Okay, we move on. The next section is 1.1. Can chanting itself bring about enlightenment? So this one is a very interesting question, because during those early days when I first came out, even before I came out to share or teach, I used to attend Dhamma talk and other things, Dhamma discussion, retreat. Then I was at various temples, especially Brickfield Temple. Then we tend to hear a lot of this type of sharing, because in Theravada tradition, all this so-called Theravada Vihara or temple, there are always a lot of this type of words that come around. Then they try to influence other people. They say, you believe in Mahayana or not? Then most of the time people say, yeah, what's wrong with Mahayana? He say, they just chant only, you know, Amitabha, or Namo Kwansi. By chanting alone, no need to meditate, can become enlightened. So that was the Buddhist community at that time. So a lot of people who don't understand, they tend to be gullible. They say, oh yeah, we are so logical. Man. Then they say, no need to cultivate Four Noble Truths, no need to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Chan can become enlightened. Yeah. So what is your understanding? That one is very important. That's why when this question was asked, I say, it's a very good question, but people don't understand at that time. So the question end up we asking, can chanting itself brings about enlightenment? So what do you think? Most people would have thought logically, cannot lah, you chant, 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 how can it bring about enlightenment? But after I explain, then you understand. Then I explain. I say, yes, it can. Straight away, I provide the answer. Provided you know how to chant with very strong faith, clear mindfulness, and understanding. So what are these words? Strong faith means what? Sada, anasana, which is a spiritual faculty. Then clear mindfulness is what? Sati, which is also a spiritual faculty. Then clear understanding is what? Panya, wisdom, which is also another spiritual faculty. So now you understand. Those who chant with understanding, with faith, they develop spiritual faculty. Then when they chant with understanding, they really develop good meditative mind state. What did I share with you earlier on? When you have the five spiritual faculty cultivated, they overcome the five opposite mental hindrances. When there is nothing to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state, then what happened? Which means their mind is always in the meditative state, despite the fact that they just developed the chanting. But they develop it with faith, with understanding, with sati. They have clarity of mind. The awareness and the chanting become one. That is how it becomes possible. So here, I will read this second sentence again. For it can also bring about the cultivation of the five spiritual faculty, sadda, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, leading to the enlightenment. So don't be rigid or dogmatic to simply comment when you still cannot understand other people's practice or cultivation, especially those of the Mahayana and the Pure Land tradition. So here is very easy. When you have the faith in the Buddha and his teaching, what happened? Through knowing who the Buddha is, how special the teaching is, you will definitely go all out with it. And that spiritual zeal is virya. That's why for sadda there is virya. Then when you chant with sati, means clear mindfulness and awareness, then that one stabilizes and becomes samadhi. And your mind become collected and unwavering. So when the five spiritual faculty are there, especially sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are. You can insight into phenomena. You can awaken. That's why the understanding will arise. The wisdom will arise. Then when they read the Dhamma book, when they chant the Heart Sutra, the whatever mantra, that faith together with the understanding and the spiritual faculty, they integrate into a very beautiful monolithic mind that can develop the understanding. Then the other particular aspect which the normal Theravada tradition cultivator seldom develop is the great beings that they have faith in. For us, we have faith in Sakyamuni Buddha. I mean the Theravada tradition. But they have all the other great beings. They have Amitabha Buddha. They have the Medicine Buddha. Yeah. And they have all the various types of Buddha, Sabhasa Buddha. Then they even have what we call the great Bodhisattva that are actually more or less completed their training and they can become Samasa Buddha already. But they choose to come as Bodhisattva, like Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Manjushri Bodhisattva, and even Samantabhadra Bodhisattva, Pusen Pusa. Then you have Dijangwang Pusa, Atstor Bodhisattva, Kisti Gaba Bodhisattva. All these great Buddhas and great beings or Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, they have very powerful vows. Their vows are very, very extensive. And because of that, they can manifest into nature's law. And like Kuan Yin or Amitabha or one, if you have faith in them, if you chant their name or forehead or mantras or whatever, yeah, it can bring about efficacy of transformation. Means they can fulfill your ability, like Amitabha. You can develop the faith and chant and the spiritual faculty until you can take birth in the pure land that he has created. And from there, you develop your cultivation. Yeah. So, all these are in the pure land teaching, the Mahayana teaching. So, do not be rigid and dogmatic when you do not understand the way people cultivate. Where their pure land tradition, which is part of Mahayana, is very different. Yeah. And that extra great vow, extensive vow of their teacher, or even Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, they also have them. Whoever call upon her forehead or chanting or mantra, even Om Mani Padme Hum, there will be a response. Yeah. Then for Amitabha Buddha, the vow is so strong, so extensive, that it can deliver those who have faith in him to take birth in the pure land, or they call it the land of Western Paradise, Sifang Sijie. Means in that pure land rhyme that Amitabha, through his great extensive cultivation and vow, establish, it seems the beings there that take birth there, they have minimum 5 precepts, and of course a lot are way beyond them. So all this is what the Mahayana pure land tradition are capable of. So do not underestimate people's cultivation. Then I read on. Their Buddhas and their great Bodhisattva vows are very powerful, and they can help those who are sincere to connect to their vow. This is what I meant. Enabling them to develop the cultivation so much faster. Whatever you do in life, and you know how to develop it with understanding, then it can bring about a transformation too, for life itself is the meditation. Here the cultivation of the daily mindfulness, which is the cultivation of sati sampajana. So this is what the Buddha has taught us under kaya nupassana. The first category of practice or cultivation is anapana sati. Then after that, mindfulness of the four posture. Then the third category of practice is develop sati and clear comprehension, sati sampajana. Means cultivate mindfulness and clear comprehension, the four types of clear comprehension. Clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, clear comprehension of domain of practice, clear comprehension of what they call most important place, time, and people, or suitability, clear comprehension of suitability. Then the last one is clear comprehension of non-delusion. So all this can bring about stability of daily mindfulness, leading to ever mindful state. Then from there you use it to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. It leads to heedfulness, or what we call apāmadha. That's why the last advice of the Buddha is apāmadena sampadeta. So strive on with heedfulness. The key word is with heedfulness. You must train your mind to develop this heedfulness first, and then after that you strive on with the spiritual faculty of virya. So hopefully you understand. So next time if people ask you, then you can confidently reply, yes, it can be done. Because they develop that chanting in the form of understanding to develop the spiritual faculty. And when their spiritual faculty are very stable, there is no mental hindrance, then they can really see things as they are, insight into phenomena and awaken. This is what direct seeing is all about. Then these are spiritual faculty that can enable to them to understand spiritual teaching. So all of the Dhamma that you present to them, they read, they understand, they read, they understand, because they have the spiritual faculties. So these are the understanding that we as cultivator of the way must develop. Okay, 1.3, this one is very important. This one, the wisdom of my first Theravada tradition teacher, Praachan Yantra Amaru Bhikkhu. He's a Thai. So below are listed some important truths that Brother Teo had learned from his teacher Praachan Yantra Amaru Bhikkhu, a very wise and famous Thai monk during the early years of his cultivation. I met him from 1988 to 1992. Then the advice that he has given me, or the important truth that he has spoken to me when I'm with him, or when I listen to his Dhamma talk, are as follow. So I will read through. I remember the first important truth that I was looking for, I heard from him. Yeah, when I started, when I was young, I think around 17 years old, form 5, I want to know what is meditation, or what meditation is. I need somebody to tell me about the mind. I can't find anybody. Everybody was teaching the Dhamma, the standard Dhamma, traditional Dhamma, means based on Dhamma scripture teaching. But nobody can tell me what this mind is. So when I heard this from him, I become very attracted to it, excited. He said, mind is mind. Body is body. Body is never the mind. And the mind never the body. But body is important too, because both mind and body must harmonize to help us live life and develop the meditation. And we choose take care of mind, because mind is more important. So at that time, because of this, when I was developing the meditation on a 3-day-2-night retreat, weekend retreat at Brickfield, conducted by him, I shared before, I think, I experienced very severe pain on my leg. I think the bottom part here, you call what, near to the ankle there, at the base there. After long sitting, because after 2 days of long sitting, the pain starts to develop. But then, I can still endure, because for me, I have endured before. But that advice that he has given me actually gave me the courage to go through it. He said, mind is mind, body is body, body never the mind. Then body and mind must harmonize. We choose to care mind, where mind is more important. Then from there I become very brave. You know? Yeah. Just like I make the affirmation. You know? I say, if that is the case, I have faith in him, I trust him, I'm going to see it through. Yeah. Because body is just a body. Different from the mind can detach. Yeah. So what I did was, I endure. Then it reached a very, very strong, actually, we call it the limiting point. Normal people cannot take it really. Because before even I reach that point, the thoughts start to tell me things. He say, you better get out of it. You can become paralyzed if you continue to see. Then the understanding came along. I said the Buddha also made that determination underneath the Bodhi tree. But I dare not like the Buddha. Not until he become enlightened, he will not arise from that spot and never make that strong affirmation or determination. I just say, body is just a body, mind is mind. Body never the mind never the body. So I determined to see through and see through. So I endure. Then suddenly, after some very excruciating, severe tactile consciousness, most people would have given up, cannot go through. It's really like your whole leg can be paralyzed. Yeah. So what happened was I continued to relax and pray and endure. Then all of a sudden, I think my sati came in. No? Then there is a bright light flashes through my brain there. No? The mind up there, the brain there. Very bright light. Then all of a sudden, I realize the awareness become very strong. Okay? Then I realize that so-called tactile sensation of pain, no more. No? The whole thing gone. No? After a flash, then there was a lot of virya, no, faith and joy. Then I say, what is all this? Beautiful, I say. Then I determined to see. You know. Then I went down with the sati at my leg there. I was observing with sati. You know. Then I can see the mind is the mind, you know, separate from that thing. You know. That thing, the form down there, that pulling sensation or whatever, that movement or my awareness can pick it up. But it was separated from my mind. That's how I come to know mind is mind, body is body, body never the mind. Then after that particular sitting, from that day onward until even now, I got no problem with so-called meditative pain or leg pain or what. I got no more problem. Well, I know how to relax into it and actually free all the so-called constriction that normal living being or meditator or cultivator who doesn't know how to release it or relax into it to actually let the chi or the chi to go through. That's how it become like painful, and some become so severe it develop into numbness until they cannot feel anything. That's why they overcome it through numbness and all that. But my advice is, if you are not ready, don't try. Well, I heard of one monk who did it in Burma. He's a European monk. He collapsed, fainted, and for 2 or 3 days before he become conscious again. So don't try it if you don't have the understanding or you are not ready. But you are ready, by all means. Eh? You can find out. But for me, not necessary to find out. Because you only need to know how to relax. That's why now, easy, I teach you the four support. Relax into every mind state that arises. Then maintain awareness. Stabilize the awareness. That's all you need to do. The rest, not so critical, not so important. Okay? So now we go back to the notes. Yeah? So that was the first advice. Then after that, the second advice is very good. This one gave me a lot of wisdom and understanding. He said, we choose accept everything as natural because only form and mind arising and passing away and mighty nature rolling by. So not so real and not what you think. So if you can penetrate this, you will become very beautiful. Because if you can accept everything as natural means what? Means you understand what the Buddha meant by whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. The same stanza. The meaning is the same. Because when the Buddha said whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind, means what? Within our conditioned world, as I explained before, we have the Pancha Niyama that governs life and existence, and especially the three spiritual laws, Kama Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. So when the causes and conditions are already there, thing is just the way it is, cannot be otherwise already. Because all these causes and conditions will manifest in this way. That's why this is the way things are. Suchness, tatata, the reality. So whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. The thing has to be this way. This is the suchness of thing. This is the reality. This is what is, the isness of thing. It cannot be otherwise. So it's the same as if you can accept everything as natural, means you understand that Buddha's stanza. Whatever arises, there are causes and conditions. But this is the way things are. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, you suffer. And moreover, it's just namaru, form and mind, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity, no reality, not what you think. That's why he said, only form and mind arising and passing away, following nature's law. So only mighty nature ruling by. So not so real, not what you think. So after you have developed the cultivation, when you contemplate into all this, you reflect, you will awaken. Then your wisdom becomes very stable. Then nothing can delude you and can cause any more delusion in you. Then number three is also very important. We choose contemplate all Dhamma until they are very, very clear. This denotes the importance of second turning wisdom. I remember when I met him, every time I met him, not less than six times, no, he repeated this advice. We choose contemplate all Dhamma until very, very clear. Yeah. So all those who have gone through the transformation and cultivation, they will know. Second turning wisdom, born of contemplation, reflection, and inquiry is very important. Then number four, also very important. When I heard him say, the highest meditation, or the real meditation, so I expected something very fantastic, but I heard only this. He said, we choose a way of all action and all movement in the present moment. Then straight away, I realized this is what Sati Sampajana is. The daily mindfulness meditation in daily life is. So that is the one that immediately awakened me and develop the understanding. That's why after that I reverse my anapanasati. I release out all the absorption and concentration. Then I go into daily mindfulness. Initially it was not easy. Yeah, I realized I was hardly even 5 minutes aware throughout the day. Very difficult. Split second the awareness is gone. I determined to aware again, split second the awareness is gone. Because of the heedless, mundane, what they call thinking. All of the habitual thinking, the habitual thought activity that we have developed until it become habitual. Our reaction to sense experience, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, then our views, opinion, conditioning, belief system. We don't have right view. We cannot accept things as they are. We always wanting our way. That's why our like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, they become very strong. So this is what daily mindfulness is all about. You don't have a stable sati leading to daily mindfulness, you cannot awaken. So daily mindfulness is number one. Otherwise you cannot see, you cannot understand what is going on, and you cannot transform. Well, your mind will be too cluttered. There will be no space between thoughts. Only when you are aware and mindful without thought, you can be in the true mind state to have the direct seeing, to awaken, to enable you to see things as they are. So all this understanding will come. Okay? So this daily mindfulness, I think, after that I determine. Yeah. I remember he asked, who wants to like promise to do this meditation. So I remember at that time, without hesitation, I put up my hand straight away. It was at Brickfield Temple. There was another guy I also remember. He also put up there, but I forgot who he is. Only the two of us. Then after that, my teacher Ajayendra said, you promised the Buddha, not me. He said, oh, I promised the Buddha, we must fulfill. That's how I determined after that. Within 2 weeks, the sati came to me after that. When I determined to be aware throughout the day. So initially, I remember I returned to the center of my heart until the energy that built up. But then with that affirmation, the determination, and the faith, finally, the sati came. Then I realized body and mind move as one. I was in sati throughout the day, most of the time, if not all the time. And that was the stability I established. Then after that, not long, the rest is history. Okay, the next one, number 5. Importance of having a good daily religious routine to train the mind to cultivate puja, means devotional practice, metta, sati, and meditate every day. So this one is very important. Because after that, I actually developed this routine. Then I remember I was doing it for almost one over a year, I think 88 until 89. But after 89, I still continue to do until my mundane mind collapsed. So what happened was, I remember his advice is, before you wake up, determine to be aware. Then after you wake up, after you wash your face or whatever, then sit. Means have a good religious routine, means do your usual puja, pay respect to Buddha, or Kuan Yin or whatever that has affinity with you. Then develop the puja chanting. You can start with salutation to the Buddha. So, Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. You can chant three times. Then after that, you can chant the what they call you take refuge. You take refuge. Buddhang saranang gacchami. I was saying that you renew your precept. Initially, five precepts is enough. Then you determine to develop the meditation. So at that time, when I started, I did a lot of metta. That's why my metta was very good. Then after that, I did anapanasati. Then towards the later part, I will read it, what they call Shariyamaris. Means pre-puja, post-puja. So the sharing of merit is very important. Then after that, I continue with my daily mindfulness. I mean, whatever I do throughout the day, I have sati, mindfulness. I determine to be aware. Then after I develop the stability of training, I will continue with that. But before you sleep, he also say, do the meditation. If you can, in front of the altar or in your room or anywhere quiet, you can also repeat the puja every day. Then metta, then meditate. Then after that, share merit, transfer merit. Then you determine to be aware, mindful, go to sleep. Throughout the day, that is the routine. So a good daily religious routine is very important. Then in between, what I did is, every time before I leave my house, I will pay respect to the Triple Gem. That is during that time when I was doing it. Then every time I go to a temple, what the first thing is, I go to the main shrine there, I pay my respect. Then I do my short routine, then I come out. Then I determined to be aware, mindful. Then whenever I came home, the first thing I do also last time, I go to the altar. Mindfully, I pay my respect. Then after that, maintain daily mindfulness. Then I go about doing my thing. Then how I actually do everything when I was at home or even at the office, the daily mindfulness was there, continuous. Even listening to phone call, walking away, standing away, turning, stretching away, bending or whatever. Then take bath or whatever, answer nature's call. Everything I do with awareness. Then my movement is with full awareness. And that is the stability that you need to develop. And this is a very helpful religious routine. After that, I realize I become very different. Even in the office, though, that time I was working with a statutory body, I think in one of the university, where I meditate a lot. I go office very early, I meditate. Then after that, I start my day. When the office start, I start my day. Then when I finish my routine, again, I develop mindfulness and awareness of everything I do. Then I have a room. So lunchtime sometimes, I will just off the light, lock the room. Then I will sit and meditate. And if I need to go for my lunch break or what, I will go. Then after office also, I remember, I will meditate for about 45 minutes before I leave the office, unless I have something urgent to do. But maintaining daily mindfulness is very important. So all these are the routine that my nature did. That's why it helped me a lot. And the understanding keep on arising after that. When the mindfulness is there, you start to see a lot of things, aware of a lot of things. Your own mental activity, your own mental states, your own, they call mind states, mind state. Oh. And I realized at that time, because I was so sensitive, so aware, wherever there is any slightest tension or stress or what, my awareness can be aware of it. That's why I know how to relax into it and become at peace with it. Then whenever something try to like affect me in my daily life or what, because that time I was working, but very sensitive, the mindfulness. So when I was in the meeting, also high level meeting, I can sit there and meditate, you know, until people thought I was sleeping. You know. Yeah. Sometimes the snoring sound come out. Yeah. But one sound only. The moment it come out, my nature away again. Because you are so relaxed until it goes into that snoring. Mm. So all this is what I did. Eh? Go back to the notes. I have to finish it off already. Okay, number 6. Importance of constantly cultivating the 5 spiritual faculty of mind and keeping of the 5 precepts. So this one is explained already, we can skip. Then number 7 is the best. He always share with me this. Nature give and give. So nature has great loving kindness, he always tell me. He said, nature just gives and gives. Then he asks us to contemplate. He said, the air we breathe come from nature. The water we drink also come from nature. And the food that we consume, they all come from nature. Yeah. And nature never complain. Yeah. So he gives some example, I remember. He said, the tree. He looked at the tree. At night, despite the storm, the whatever weather condition, extreme hot and cold throughout the day, they never complain, they endure. Then when condition is so harsh, he said, even the plants or the flowers or whatever, he said, they will wither. And go to the autumn and the winter to bud again when spring arrives. Then he said, nature has great wisdom. They never fear. Whereas human being, you put them in the wild, a lot of problems. They complain here and there. Then the extreme severity of weather condition, they cannot accept, they cannot endure. Nowadays, we have the great fortune of having all the proper housing, dwelling with all the aircon, and for those in cold area, you have the heater and all those things. Then the other thing that he shared is, he said, the great tree, especially the big trees, they provide the shade for living beings to have the cooling shade underneath. And in return, what did the living being do or the human being do? They actually do a lot of funny things down there. Sometimes they throw their dirty you call what? The thing that you want to throw away on. Or they just spit down there, or even they urinate down there and do a lot of funny things. Then some, so greedy, they even chop the whole tree and sell the timber and all those things. So when we reflect on nature's condition, we develop a lot of understanding. We realize the human mind is very selfish. full of emotion. Yeah. Whereas nature, most of these plants, they also have consciousness, but they are not cunning. They don't have fear, nothing. They just endure. Yeah. And they have great loving kindness. They just share, they just give. They contribute to nature, yeah, to mankind's need. So all these are the understanding. That's why the seven advice he able to give me, I was full of gratitude. Then I every time when I recall his wisdom and understanding, I will pay my respect. Yeah. Then I actually thank him a lot. Yeah. Yeah, he helped me a lot and he did a lot of great things for me. I visited his temple, his monastery in Thailand, in Australia, and many places. Then he also agreed to attend my house, Dana. Normally, lay people, he don't accept. But for my case, it was special that year. Yeah. So a lot of things, I had great gratitude towards him. And my nature thanked him. Well, he taught me many things. So that's it. Eh? So we end. Now we can have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. So remember the four support. Relax, maintain awareness, then stabilize the awareness. Then the last one, for those who have the understanding ready and the stability of mindfulness, you can do the trust. Trust your nature to develop the meditation. Stay at the heart area, relax, maintain awareness. And just let the nature move. Yeah, yeah, okay, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. And we'll continue from our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. So today's topic is mainly on meditation, and also I think the advice of my teacher Ajahn Yantra. I just go through, give a summary. So the first one is about meditation, understanding what is meditation, and not just ask people to teach you how to meditate without understanding what is meditation. And the second one is, can chanting itself brings about enlightenment? So this one we have gone through quite detail. Then wisdom of my teacher Ajahn Yantra. Okay, now we will open for second session. You can just ask me whatever question you may have regarding the meditation, or even today's topic or sharing, or any Dharma topic, or maybe report your meditation.
Good evening, Ratu. This is Stu and Okalamita. 就是念佛成佛那一part
那个很重要
Actually 那个part以前 我不大明白 when Radio go through 那个 Hasutra 的时候我也不明白我念佛其实我当下我很多时候会有这个 experience 就是 不念而念 就是他就是 like 那个 chanting just come like 我走路的时候他会一直来 chanting
对对对 To a lot of cultivator, this chanting will come to you. You have done it in the past before. Yeah,
yeah 就是他的 chanting 会 like 全部 movement 啊 比你的走路 你的手啊 全部 like 对 在一起, 然后你就好像 like in sati, 这样就是 like 你不是你在念, 但是它就是 manifest 在你的
对, the chanting will arise, then your awareness is with it. 你的 awareness 自己啊, 会 pick it up one. Then the awareness and the chanting as one, no one is chanting one. Then 你就明白啊, why that awareness is separate one, it's not the same entity one. Because the chanting is the chanting, that vibration that arise, they can arise through many causes and conditions. Then sometimes initially is normally you hear them, you hear them, then your awareness is with them. Then later on, some of the cultivator, they will follow the chanting, they will also chant. But later you will chant until the chanting also stop. Then that chanting arise by itself, just like what you experience and a few Kayamita experience when they go for retreat or special spiritual trips. The chanting follow them on. There are a few Kayamita that told me, when one of them was when she went to India, the whole chanting was with her for the whole trip until she come back. Then there are others who also experience the same thing when they develop the faith and all those things. Then this chanting just came to you, just like your case also. The chanting came to you.
Yeah, but actually, 我第一次 experience 这个是在 Cameron Retreat.
啊，对。
我在 Cameron Retreat 的时候, 有一天我起来, 然后那个走路那个阿弥陀佛一直跟住我,
啊，对对，不停的跟错，
对，一直跟住我, 然后当下我又不明白, 然后我就想, 哎呀，走快一点看那个阿弥陀佛会不会不见, 肯定。 然后不是的, 原来他是跟着你所有的 movement
对
synchronous.
activity everything
对,你走快呢, 他的 chanting 又快, 很奇怪。 That's the first time 我 experience 个所谓的阿弥陀佛。 然后接下来就是观世音菩萨 的普陀山之旅。
普陀山呀。
对，我一上那个 taxi 的时候啊，那个 hut 那个 area 这个餐厅就一直
对，
这样一直这样子，然后到最后就是那个楞严州的那个，
对，
对，因为我去五台山那个就是文殊菩萨的心咒，然
都
后。
是为他行走，
对，这一切的，他那个不念而念哦，他是你很清楚的 aware 到每一个是
对，
你里面的 manifest 的那个每一
对，
个，
从里
非常
面它 manifest 出来的，
对，所
then
以
还有一个是地藏王菩萨是吧？紫云洞那边，
那个是地藏王菩萨的那个，不是，其实 Bradio 那个是。在 Cameron Retreat，
在开放 retreat，
Cameron Retreat，我跟师傅讲，我可以不可以读地藏经 during 我的 lunch time？师傅说你不可能读得完的。然后我不用紧，我讲我随便翻一下咯。当我一
对，
翻那个地藏经的时候他的 reading 是来那个 high area 读的，咯咯咯咯，
对
来。
对对对对，
那个来那个 machine 这样不对不对不对，很快
他
在
自己跑了，
一直在转，这样那个经我就哇，我讲哇，我还记得我还问 Bradio 为什么会这样？Bradio 讲
因为
原
前
因，
世因嘛，
对，所以他的 manifest 是让我很多的 faith 的这一切，
对，
然后再下来我读到那个。大势至菩萨的念佛成佛的圆通章里面，有时候他说念佛成佛，然后我就用我的mundane mind 念佛怎么样成佛啊？
啥
然
的，
后都他其实后来我 suddenly 有一次我就明白，其实当你回归你的佛性，就是你
对，
在你所有seizing 的时候，你就是 like go back to 你的所谓的 Buddha nature。就是来 Bradio 那个四个的那个，你走回去的时候，那个
对，
就是所谓的成佛，而不是你说很那个一尊佛那个佛。
不是那个，
所以我 哦，原来是这样。其实，
That's why sometimes those who understand, like 广清老和尚啊，people ask him 啊，佛在哪里啊？His reply is very beautiful 耶，佛在心头，is in your heart，because when that nature manifests, is from there，then the chanting, everything will from there, all things arise. Then they connect to their vows, and they really can deliver the faith and understanding, the vibration, everything. So when your awareness nature is been activated through your past cultivation or past chanting training or whatever, then it moves very fast. For my case, also same. The Amitabha came to me and Quan Sing came to me because it was like automatic. Then whenever I pass by a temple or what, sometimes the chanting will attract my nature. Then straight away I will know how to silent and be with it. Then sometimes I at Cameron Highland there, I will follow their chanting. Then like Tang Jia, when he conduct the morning and the evening chanting, if you join and attend, then as they do all the chanting, they do it very mindfully. Then after that, they will walk. To us, it's like they walk. Actually, it's the chanting and the walking, they move as one. So that one, I used to follow the more elderly abbot before this Tang Jia. I remember that time was 1989 when I was there. That old abbot was there, the late abbot. So he can sense what I do, I think. Then when I met him, I have the faith. Then I rejoice. Then when he conduct the chanting, oh, that chanting was so beautiful. Straight away from the meditation upstairs, I came down and joined. That's why I still remember. And that chanting was so beautiful. So they will alternate between these two. But most of the time it's Amitabha. Then sometimes it's Quan Sim Pusa.观音菩萨，观音菩萨，观音菩萨。Then it continue. Then after that, your own chanting stop. That awareness and the chanting as one, just like what you realize or what you experience. The chanting actually is part of your nature. Your nature's awareness is with the chanting. Then no matter what you do, the whole manifestation of the chanting is with you. It's like with your entire nature. Then that joy, that faith, the understanding, the vibration, everything actually give rise to a lot of activity, transformation and faith. Actually, it open up your nature inside. That vibration is so powerful. So not only it give rise to the faith, the spiritual faculty, it enhances the cultivator with the understanding to connect with the great being's nature. And through that chanting vibration can actually activate our nature. Then as you do it more and more, more and more, that nature keep on actually become more and more like in tandem with it now. And until sometimes for no reason, that chanting will come up when it's needed to help you understand. That's why I remember there was one incident I was driving. Then all of a sudden the chanting came up. So I need to park my car. Then I silent everything and I meditate in the car. And the awareness was full, complete with that chanting. Then I realized there was no one chanting. So the chanting and the awareness nature is one. And that manifestation was fantastic. Fantastic. Then after that, that's why after that experience, I came to understand how all this chanting can lead to awakening. And people can do their meditative transformation through chanting. All these are possible and need to be understood by the cultivator, especially the great vows of all these great beings, Sammāsambuddha. I can remember the four great beings, they have their own chanting, but my affinity with Kuan Yin was the strongest. Then, of course, Amitabha also very strong. But the main one is Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. So as cultivator of the way, you will come to know who are the Buddhas or the great beings that you have affinity with. And all this will manifest as you like venture into the cultivation. And in fact, many Kayamita who went to the annual retreat at Cameron Highland, they develop a lot of affinity there, or kanyinga they call. And the chanting just came. And sometimes it's the message from the great beings and all those things. So when you're at the retreat, maintain your faith, go and pay your respect, then silent. Then a lot of things can manifest and happen. Very good, Sadhu, Alicia.
Yeah, but to actually Cameron Highlands 真的给我的感觉是好像回家，每次回去就好像回家。
对，
就是
因为很多人喜欢那个道场，even Brahmasiri 有时候 off and on 他也上去的。That's why they are chanting there, our donation, our contribution, very good. And it's full of merits and wholesomeness. And that area, the beings' energy, their great beings' energy, their nature, they are there, the vibration. Especially, I think the relics there, they are very strong. Then now they build the two stupa in front. So to actually house the relics. So all these have contributed to that thing. And the founder was very good. The founder must have some premonition or what to know that that place is very conducive. That's why he raised the fund and the first abbot, I think, and he built the whole area. And over the years, it has become so beautiful. Last time I remember when I was there in the early 80s and late 80s, the building was not completed one. It's only half. Then cement floor, I remember. Very cold area, no hot water, nothing. Then they did the extension. Then later on, they put in the flooring, the timber flooring. That's why over the years they managed to get the fund and they did a great job. So over the past 10 over years, I think that place has become very beautiful. Ever since I conduct the annual retreat back there, we have hot water system and the facility very conducive. And until today, some off and on renovation are still taking place. One thing good is they extended the outside car park area where the bus now can make a turn and can go up, drop people, then can turn and go back. So all these are very, I should say, helpful and conducive. And we should rejoice with all those who make contribution and donation. And every annual retreat, we also make donation, our Kayamita fund. And these offerings are very meaningful, very conducive, and very beautiful because whoever who go there and develop the meditative training, whether to retreat or partake in any ceremony there, who benefited from that place, all those who donate and contribute get to partake in all the wholesomeness. And every year they conduct a lot of this Dharma activity there, their Mahayana type of Dharma activity, which are very wholesome and very conducive. That's why luckily Padmasri have good relationship with the, I think, Pangjia and some of the nuns up there and helpers. So because of that, she managed to actually help us develop the affinity with them. And every time we want to have our retreat or perform our wholesomeness to whatever activity they do, they will inform Padmasri. And Padmasri will call me out and ask me, Brother Teo, do you all as Kaya Mita want to participate or partake in all this? I said, no problem. I said, all these are meant to be. That's why we actually did a lot of major contribution over the last 10 years to this Triple Gem Temple, Sanbao Si, Brinchang, at Sampo Temple in Cameron Highland. So all these are the, I should say, affinity that we develop. And these are very wholesome. Very wholesome. That's why our Kaya Mita Fund, our Kaya Mita Force, and what Kaya Mita did was very beautiful, especially towards San Bao Si and all the wholesomeness. Yeah, Alicia, you continue.
Yeah, but you have to be grateful for the Pilutana Force.
Ah, wait, Pilutana Force,
right. After 水岸就去 pay respect 给他100次，然后他就 manifest 那次鱼给我看。嗯，沙丘，嗯，那个
retreat was good for you，
真的，那条鱼在那个
fish pond
那边。嗯，对，好，是一个让我明白到，就是他让我明白到你其实你可以。 你可以在samsara，但是不能在samsara suffer。但是往往我们就是因为愚痴人，就是 condition 我们自己在这个 samsara 一直在转，一直在苦。所以接下来我想跟 Bradio report 的是我最近发生的一些事情。哦，OK。因为以前的我是很习惯于 complain 人家的，对，这个所谓的，但是我好像又 aware 到这个是一个 latent tendency 这样子，对，他是怎样说呢？就是你不知不觉在，你因为你有一点摩擦嘛，跟你有点摩擦，但是你又 你再不知不觉的，你就回去你以前的那个 complain 的那个 habitual tendency，
对，然后他就
整个 manifest 出来，就很苦，很苦的，因为它是一种
habitual tendency 啊， become 业障了，become
业障了，令我感觉到非常苦，苦到你不能讲话，就是。 You know, brother, 我 end up 我在那边 scream 就是了，我不懂得怎样去。当下你好像你 aware 到你那个是 latent tendency 要 erupt 了，但你还是
Actually, that is very good. 那个是开始了解了的，所以他才会给你看到， otherwise 看不到的这些。 A lot of people trapped in all this very strong emotion or coming latent tendency and all the things. They themselves don't know one. But for your case, it manifests for you to see, to experience all this. That's why 你一看到了, 那个是 the beginning of transformation and understanding. That's why 你会 make use of it to come out of it and develop beautiful understanding. 好啊，沙丘。
Yeah, so when 我 reflect 回去, suddenly 我 come to understand, 因为 due to 我的 complaint, because of 我的 ego, that's why
对,
it start to be, wow, like, 你很清楚, 这个是 like latent under, like undercurrent, no?
Yeah,
还要,
很激扬的, like they call it asavak,
very, very
要本座 shoot
出来罢了的。 对, 很 strong, 很 strong. 其实你明明因为那个很小的事情, 为什么你会, 你会这样容易被stir了哦，你好像不可想事情，但是他就是明白，这个就是你的 latent tendency。你经过这件事后，我就好像怎么样讲啊？我 accept 这个事情，然后我就去怎样去处理，我就知道了哦。OK，我这个事情我一定要 acknowledge，我去承认我是错的，然后我就
That's what Chan Hui is all about,
对，然后哦，哇，他就哇，一天罢了，他整个又平静回来。对，啊，然后就很苦啊，不然就真苦不堪言，我真是。啊，对，啊，That
is the sentence that Xuan Hua also use, 苦不堪言哦，啊，对，真的是你根本不能够，真的很苦的，啊，
不能用言语去表达的那种的 experience, you know, 但是，我很 lucky 的是，在我一天晚上我睡觉前哦，我看到 Eckhart 的一个 posting 哦，就讲
啊，沙丘。
about complain 哦，suddenly 我就哇，整个事情明白掉，哇，我真的知道原来哦，我们的那个 latent 的哦，真不容易啊，brother，很。
不容易消除的，因为 Eckhart also know he call it pain body that trigger off pain and suffering 嘛，你一 initiate 到它就来了。Is lay dormant inside one, no? Then sometimes it become very latent one, no? Oh, 它就很容易发出来了. So these are called pain body. To Eckhart, he call it pain body. Things that can trigger off pain. And 它是 dormant 在里面的, 因为这个 manifestation come from like what you explained earlier on. It's a type of 业障来的. It's a karmic 来的 until it becomes so habitual, so latent inside, so 它整天让你做错东西的, and trigger off a lot of suffering, a lot of 苦, then to read that one out, even 那个慈济的证严法师, also find it not easy, because they call it habitual tendency. 你那个习惯呢，弄到它这么强了哦，在里面，and it's very difficult to root out one, very difficult to actually develop the wisdom to completely root it out one. So 它 off and on 呢，without you developing the awareness 啊，to really see it 啊，it keep on manifesting one 哦，until 你的 wisdom and mindfulness reach a level 啊。Where finally you see it so clearly then you can root it out, completely root it out, then 它就不会 manifest. So 修行 is like that one. When you develop the cultivation, you will go through a lot of all this one. Then you develop the understanding on your own. So 你这个 sharing is very good, Sadhu.
Yeah, 就那个 experience, you know, but 我知道，但是我 acknowledge 了之后，我不可能会有那种 justification or why is like that，
啊，不会
没有，
好像以前
就
那
是没有了。我就是面对他怎样的去处理吧。就是你知道，因为你一定要经过这一些，让你知道为什么普贤菩萨说为什么我们必须得忏悔这个六根，六
对，
根要
杀
因
掉，
为。
杀掉，
主这
忏
个
悔六根很重要的，不要
就
六
是
根actually create a lot of delusion on。True delusion, it manifests on, and all these are karmic. That's why I always say there is a lot of karmic thing behind, and this karmic can be either strong karmic obstruction or karmic repercussion. So the karmic manifestation, when they come, they can really create a lot of unnecessary blockage to the cultivator of the way. 那个修行者, actually, they cannot overcome it or no. And they also don't know that karmic obstruction is behind. So karmic obstacle and karmic obstruction, they are very real in life. Then normally, for human being to receive truth or to receive help or to receive some form of affinity to cultivate the Dhamma or go the Dhamma way, you need to actually mitigate all this karmic obstruction and karmic obstacle. If you cannot develop the understanding to mitigate, then it will continue to haunt them. The best way is to ask for forgiveness, I realize. When you ask for forgiveness sincerely, repentant, then vow not to repeat all this. We are following the advice of the Buddha. Then after that, develop the cultivation. Then invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to return to good mind state or to good condition so that you can continue to actually walk the path of Dhamma again, to have affinity with the Triple Gem, to cultivate the Buddha Dharma and go this way. Then you can also invoke power of merit for causes and conditions for this karmic obstruction and karmic obstacle to be like slowly be rooted out, or to be there's a word they call it what to reduce it, reduce and finally root it out. Otherwise the karmic obstacle and the karmic obstruction, they can be very real and not easy for cultivator of the way or humanity to actually break free from it. So all these are skillful means and special understanding that cultivator of the way who has gone through the extensive training develop the understanding, and they share it with living beings and cultivator of the way. That's why this line, my nature come, I know how to teach you all to develop the repentant. And the repentant, the tree that I taught you all under the Bodhisattva vow, yellow sheet, are very important. Then the three sets of pure precepts, Bodhisattva precepts, they are also very important. So this one, maybe I make use of this condition to share with you all again. Under page 2 of our this yellow card, the taking of the Bodhisattva vow, then on page 2, item number 3, having developed the above right views, this nature of my vow to always keep the following three sets of pure precepts, following the advice of all Sammasambuddha. So this one is an enhancement of the usual Dhammapada verse 183. So here I quote them. I say, to avoid all evil and to understand clearly what constitutes evil. So I put bracket. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are evil. So we have to expand on that. Then the second one, set of pure precepts, is the most important. To cultivate all virtue and blessings leading to the perfection of them all. So this one, you must hold it well. Because when you have this, it will help you to break all the karmic obstruction. You can invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to develop a lot of progress, understanding. Then when you continue to cultivate all virtue and blessing leading to the perfection of them all, means you are incapable of negativity already. Then all those like latent tendency or habitual tendency, karmic obstruction or karmic obstacle, they will melt away. That's why this set of pure precept is very powerful. When you have this, what they call vow, means you vow to always keep the three sets of pure precept. So the first one is for understanding, and when you expand on it, you become like more wise when you develop the cultivation of avoiding all evil, because you really do your understanding. Then the second one is to cultivate wholesomeness. But when you do it as a vow, to keep this second set of pure precept, you vow to cultivate all virtue and wisdom. When you continue to do that, every life you come, you become different. Because all the virtue, all the blessing that is the base for wisdom to manifest, they will actually arise. And these virtue and blessings are very powerful. It not only can help us break karmic obstruction, karmic obstacle, it can also help us develop a lot of parami and wholesomeness to let us use it to invoke power of merits and wholesomeness for a lot of wholesome things. And it can also help us fulfill our cultivation of the 10 perfection leading to Sammasambuddhahood. The third set of pure precept is we vow to cultivate wisdom, which is the third advice of the Buddha, purify your mind. But to incorporate this part, we vow to cultivate all wisdom to help liberate and take across all sentient beings. So this carries the weightage of the first Bodhisattva vow into the pure three sets of pure precept that we need to develop as cultivation. It is because of my understanding of that, that's why I put it in the yellow card for you all. Then when you go to the miscellaneous vow, you will also have this part. Page 4, 4, item 4. To cultivate extensively all virtue and blessing, these are the additional miscellaneous vow and merits to help support our cultivation so that we will shine, so that they will shine forth to aid this nature of mind when needed in time of trial, difficulties and tribulation while walking the Bodhisattva way. So this is the one, the second set of pure precept can actually bring forth this parami to help us. That's why even when you walk the Bodhisattva way, where it's so extensive, you will have a lot of encounter, like you say, needed in time of trials, difficulty and tribulation. So most Bodhisattva, they finally towards the end of their cultivation, they realize all these blessings and what they call virtue are needed actually towards the end of the cultivation to help them overcome a lot of things and develop a lot of understanding and enable them to take across all living beings. And these are understanding that will evolve as you continue with that cultivation. So that's why I make use of the condition today to add this part. So when you go back, the next time you go through the yellow card, our Bodhisattva vow, yellow card. You go through it with faith and understanding. Then now you will start to see the whole thing start to like give meaning and manifest. Then you will start to understand why and how. When I actually wanted to share this with you all, I prepared this yellow card. And this yellow card thing that I have prepared, they come from my past cultivation. Most of them not this life. This life, of course, I have the conscious intention to do this because I was requested. My nature was requested by Maitreya Buddha to actually bring forth the true Dhamma and the true understanding of this cultivation of the Bodhisattva way and the teaching. That's why all this came to be. Okay? Oh, exactly 6 o'clock. Okay, Alicia, you can summarize. Yeah,
感恩 gratitude. 对我自己 go through 这件事情之后，我也知道那个 virtue 的 part 是
lack
of
virtue and blessing 很重要。对，所以
刚才 brother Dio 讲的时候，我非常的感动，所以感恩 brother Dio
萨杜，萨杜，阿弥陀佛，Let us rejoice 呢。萨杜。Okay, now we shall continue with the closing puja. We will share all these merits, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakantu lokasasana ittavata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sugita hontu nyateyo idang menya tinang hotu sugita hontu nyateyo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontunya teyo devo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca vito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu.